Welcome to my art studio where all the magic happens. This is the station for painting, and that is the station for all the resin art I do. If you want to check out my art, all you gotta do is go to lutfstudio.com. LUTFstudio.com.
Well, hello, 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 everybody. It is so good to be back on Facebook. It is also good to be back on YouTube, Lindell TV, and now officially WVW-TV. Yes, it is a big announcement. It is an honor and privilege that we are now added to the lineup of daily Monday through Friday and Sundays. WVW-TV. You can find it on wordweweekend.com. Do apologize. I tried to make me look a little less sick, but the voice is going to be there. I will mute myself as much as I can when I sneeze or cough. Otherwise, do pardon me, my audience, our audience, and Michael. How's it going? I hope you're not sick, Michael.
No. Luckily, I'm not sick. You know, just another day in paradise over here, like always. And yes, as you also mentioned, Mark Zuckerberg, in his benevolence, has finally allowed us to come back onto Facebook after a 30-day ban.
Yes, it was a long 30 days. I personally very much miss everyone on Facebook because, as you all know, my biggest platform is Facebook. So, hi, Facebook. And before I forget, because I did not forget, I was waiting to be unbanned so I could come on. Karen, happy birthday yesterday. We were supposed to be unbanned before your birthday. It didn't happen. So, happy birthday. I hope you had a wonderful birthday and you have a year that is filled with happiness, health, less sickness, less flu. I'm projecting now, but yeah. Happy birthday, dear.
I meant to grab my little birthday thing. It's in the other room. I forgot to grab the stupid hat.
Oh, no.
I know.
Yes. Chris is asking, I'm sick. Am I okay? I am good. I've been just dealing with, I think it's probably just a simple cold for last few days. Hopefully I get better and better, but I could not continue skipping live shows because we had to come on and talk to you guys. So I'm good. It's just as long as you bear with my voice being all weird to me, at least I don't know if it's my voice or my ear, but something is weird and then coughing and sneezing and all that. I'm good. Otherwise.
You sound pretty much normal most of the time, but here and there you can kind of hear it that, you know, you're not quite yourself. You sound a little congested, but not terrible. Not like you were the other day.
Oh, yes. Yesterday was bad, but that's all right. So let's get to it, even though I want to just chit-chat with everyone on Facebook, but we need to get to it. As always, please do share this video on YouTube, on Facebook. That's where you can share. I mean, you can share the Lindell TV live feed as well if you want. Just click and share. But let's get to it. So I am going to be 125% sarcastic. Congratulations, we got McCarthy as a speaker. What is wrong with us? And let me tell you what I mean by that. I said something about it Friday night. I put a post on my Facebook, Michael. You saw some of the comments. And I'm not holding this against anyone. I was just amazed as to, I said, well, McCarthy again. You know, that says everything you needed to know. If you were paying attention, and it was, you know, return back to me that I'm not paying attention. And who did you want to take the seat? Jeffrey, you know, I mean, McCarthy was the only one who could possibly get the votes. And it just sounded like we're so settling for whatever. Personally, I don't think there is a difference between Jeffrey and McCarthy. That's me, personal opinion.
No.
But even if there is, maybe a drop, maybe half a millimeter, like, why are we settling? Why are we all happy for Congress to keep going? Now we have a speaker, we can get back to business. What kind of business? Corruption business?
Yeah, honestly, I'd rather them not seat Congress and just they can't do anything. They can't pass any more budgets. They can't destroy any more of our rights or spend any more of our money. But it's not even really a compromise candidate like we were talking about earlier. There's nothing that is going to force McCarthy to institute these rule changes or anything else. And again, we already know how the Uniparty operates. To them, it's just a joke. We got the Freedom Caucus to vote in McCarthy or abstain from voting. We got what we wanted. Forget you guys. I mean, I don't know if you saw Lauren Boebert's interview with
Tucker Carlson. No, sorry, Sean Hannity.
Nope. One more time. Michael Knowles. She was on with Michael Knowles, and this was a couple of days ago. And she brought up something that was like pretty interesting. That like going back over summer, they were trying to negotiate a package for the speaker for him to take the chair, but they wanted guarantees and they wanted everything in writing. And as soon as he thought he was going to get this red wave and they'd get a bunch of, you know, their rhinos and other people in and have this huge dominating number in Congress, he quit negotiating. He didn't care. Like she said, she had 218 people that were signed up, agreed to her rules package, other changes she wanted, putting a lot of the Freedom Caucus members on different committees. Basically, and it sounds like it was fairly balanced. Like she did give them some of the things they wanted. And initially he had agreed to this.
I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you right there for 1 second. And that's the thing. The government works for us. We the people. Yes. They don't work for each other. They don't work with each other. They don't make deal with each other. I just can't. I won't.
Yeah.
I won't allow any more of, I gave them this, they gave me this. We have a constitution that is set. And we know what to follow and what not to follow. There enough of making deals. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, no, I agree. And when you listen to like what's in the package, there's nothing in it that was unreasonable. She wanted a balanced budget amendment. They wanted to institute the Texas border plan, block off the border, put up the wall. They wanted guaranteed investigations into the Hunter Biden laptop, into J6. They wanted all those documents released, this, you know, thousands of hours of video they're sitting on. And they got 218 of the Republicans to agree to this. So this should have been a done deal. But then when he decided, you know what, I don't need you guys. There's going to be a red wave. We're going to get more rhinos in here and I can do whatever I want. So that's what ended up happening. And then the Freedom Caucus stuck together and held their ground for at least a few days. But at the end, they caved too, which is sad and pathetic. Because like you said, at the end of the day, this is the people's house. It should be our voices that are heard up there and not the politicians, not these inside the beltway psychopaths or all the other lobbyists on K Street.
Well, here's the thing. Few days. Again, my question is, did you really think, like, well, imagine our founding fathers would hold on for a couple of days and then gave it up. That's how I feel. Oh, 20 is strong, 20 is strong, da-da-da-da-da. 2 days? 3 days? That's it? That's all you got? Somehow, one way or another, that's the thing. At this point, I can't help but to say, every single one of them. I think Gates is the only one who didn't cave, right?
Six did not cave. Six in the end did not cave.
Those six, excluding those six, they all have a price, and McCarthy figured their price out. That's all there is to it. That's how I look at it.
You're and exactly
I'm not
going right.
to say change my mind, because there is no changing my mind at this point.
No.
Everybody has started with anyone but McCarthy. You got McCarthy sitting there because everyone except those six had a price, a cheap price, a price that wasn't us, a price that wasn't priority of people of America, a price that wasn't America first. That's all I need to know.
And what kills me with this is until they caved, they were gaining momentum. Granted, it was only a person or two, but almost every time a vote failed for McCarthy, someone else would join their side. That doesn't mean they were voting with the 20, but they were voting, you know, for Byron Donalds or just voting present, but they were leaving the votes. He was slowly losing more and more people. And again, if they had held their ground and made a big deal about it, I bet they could have either got him to sit down or gotten somebody else in there to run that everyone else could have gotten behind.
That's true. I am not going to, in any, as I said, I was somewhat very surprised with the fact that we have people on Facebook coming after my post of, you aren't paying attention. Did you want Jeffrey to take it? Did you? I mean, here's the thing. We got a younger version of Nancy Pelosi, and that's my final statement. McCarthy didn't learn a thing or two. McCarthy is too old to learn. McCarthy is too greedy to learn, and McCarthy learned that he's working with a bunch of people who are willing to trade. That's the end of the discussion as far as I'm concerned as an American citizen. I'm not going to change my mind. That is the attention I was paying. That is the form of betrayal I saw and I felt, and that's the end of it. We have a question. Karen is just because, one, you understand it better, two, you sound much better than I do, so I can mute myself and cough. Karen is asking if excuse me, wow, if you could please explain the uni party to her.
Yeah, the Uniparty is kind of a way of looking at all the Washington insiders, both in the Republicans and the Democrats. It's these people that, though they may pretend to not get along and have disagreements on certain issues, at the end of the day, they come together and they support the legislation that is good for the people that want this permanently entrenched government, this deep state, whatever you want to call it. They do what benefits Washington, D.C., and it does go across the aisle. It's both parties. It's Democrats, it's Republicans. And there are a handful of Democrats that I would say are not part of the Uniparty. But I think it's fewer and farther between than it is on the Republican side. I think, well, I would have said that until they all caved for this vote. But there used to be, 20 to 30 Republicans in the House and a few in the Senate that I would say were not part of the deep state. But unfortunately, like now, you can basically count them on your two hands, both houses of Congress, and you can tell who's not in the deep state. There's probably maybe 10 of them.
Exactly. And it is absolutely time for all of us as Americans to stop settling, stop celebrating that, oh, between bad and worse, we got the bad. No, I'm not doing it anymore. I am not going to settle for, well, our choices was between bad and worse. No more. Done. No. If this Congress had to be shut down and not move forward for another 4 months, I would prefer that. And I understand the consequences. Don't think I don't. I do. But once and for all, Swamp needs to stop winning. The only way to drain the swamp is to drain the swamp. There is no other way. This whole, in 3 days we got Congress to get going. Yay! Really? We just enabled the swamp again. And there's a very good question here from Mac that says, what compromise did he make that benefits us? None. Nada. Zilch. And exactly. As far as he promised any committee to any of the Freedom Caucus, remember, Marjorie Taylor Greene had a position in a committee, and removing her was a matter of 5 seconds for them. So they might put them all in those committees. They will find one excuse, one tweet, one truth, one Facebook, one thing to remove them immediately. There are no guarantees behind someone. McCarthy has never delivered on his promises. Look at his voting record. He has voted for the vaccine mandate. You are aware of that, right? Here goes. I think we're going to be banned for another 30 days, but so be it. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, yeah. And again, McCarthy can't be trusted. Like somebody else pointed out that, he's from California. He is Nancy Pelosi's boy. And that is basically true. He's voted with the Democrats a huge percentage of the time. He's not somebody that can be trusted. He's not a real conservative. He tried to be a speaker before when Paul Ryan was speaker, but he lost to Paul Ryan. So if that tells you anything about him, that should tell you something else. To answer another question we had in here from, I think it was SD, is that South Dakota Honey?
Yes, South Dakota Honey.
I just said the wrong name. Jim Jordan did not want to be speaker. They did offer it to him and he was nominated, but I do kind of agree with this. It's not his type of role. He wants to be in the committees. He wants to be on the ground asking questions, grilling people. And to be perfectly honest, that is what he's good at. He's good.
Let me tell you something, Michael. I am so sorry, but I do not want to be an investigative journalist, but guess what? I am. Sometimes for the benefit of the society you call yours, you do what you don't prefer to do. You really think I want to be a human rights activist? Do you really think I want to sit here every day and talk about how many people were executed in Iran? I don't want to, but I chose to do so because that is what's good for my human society. So I understand what you're saying about Jim Jordan, but I think his actions were comfort for him rather than what's good for America. And you all know I'm a Jim Jordan fan. I look forward to having him on my show again. And trust me, that will be the first question I'm going to ask him, of knowing you would have been better in that position for us, the people. Why did you still choose not to do it? That will be my question. But the point is, sometimes it's not about what you like to do, what you prefer to do. We're at dire times in our life. We don't get to have a luxury of what I prefer to do or not.
Well, I think Jim Jordan missed a big opportunity there, that instead of either taking the role that he doesn't really want in leading like as you said, stepping up like you're doing. Like you don't obviously don't want to be talking about this stuff every day. You'd much rather be in the garage making artwork right now, I'm sure.
Right now, I would very much prefer to be laying in my bed under a comfortable warm blanket, but that's
okay. Very true, but normally. But I think Jim Jordan could have said, you know, hey, this isn't my role, but offer up somebody else that is a good, you know, Freedom Caucus type candidate, somebody that he could then endorse and the rest of the House could get behind. Because if he had done that, I bet that would have clipped off a lot of these people that stuck behind our buddy there. McDaniel, or man, I keep calling him McDaniel. They're all the same to me. McConnell, McDaniel. Yeah. And because of that, the whole country is McScrewed right now, because we've got the three worst possible leaders in the House, the Senate, and running the RNC.
Bingo. And that's why we actually titled this live stream as, you know, enough settling. We need to boost our standards as America. And remember, at the end of the day, beyond parties, beyond race, beyond gender, beyond belief, we're Americans first. That's why we love the concept of America first. We cannot ask others to be America first when we are not America first. That's where I'm going with this. Are you America first? Did you settle for one that is not America first, but it's on the elephant side of the room? That's my question. Don't tell me it's better than the alternative. None of the alternatives might be better, but we need to stick to our guns, figure of a speech, please understand. And fix this. Nobody's going to drain a swamp that is trading the swamp. So we got to do it as American people.
Exactly. I mean, the fact that they're willing to negotiate with our fundamental rights and our fundamental values, and with basically negotiating away the things that we need to do to fix this country right now, means it's unacceptable. Like, there has to be some room for negotiation in politics, but it's not this kind of negotiation. The kind of negotiation you leave room for is, hey, we're going to build a border wall. Do we want this much to be the whatever it's called, the slat fencing, this one to be fenced, this to be wall, and how many people do we want to put down there? That's where you negotiate, is how do you allocate the resources. But you don't negotiate with our fundamental rights or the things that we need to do right now to get our country back onto a real constitutional track.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You see, shaking hands, making deals with who? Again, somebody actually made a comment on my post saying, give him a chance. We don't have time to give people chances, okay? This guy had his chances. It's not like he just showed up out of the blue, said, this is my resume, and he looks on the paper, and I'm saying no to him. This guy has been there. This guy has proven to be absolutely a greedy, power grabbing person. I can't repeatedly, I mean, would you give Kamala a second chance? It's the same. Would you give Nancy Pelosi, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Keith Ellison, Hussein Obama? Look what happened when we gave Hussein Obama the second chance. He destroyed what wasn't destroyed yet. You can't keep giving second chances because somebody said, President Trump said he has learned a lesson. Really? I mean, here's a question. Come at me. I'm fine with it. Did President Trump himself learn a lesson from endorsing Dr. Oz? No, he went ahead and endorsed the second Muslim guy, Ebrahim Hamadeh. I mean, you can't listen to someone saying somebody else learned a lesson when they are not in business of learning lessons themselves. I'm just going to say that.
Very true. And yeah, Trump doubled down. Yeah, he didn't learn a lesson. He doubled down. When people started criticizing people that he was endorsing, he jumped out and defended them. He didn't listen to the criticism. But yeah, McCarthy has a track record. This guy is not an unknown quantity. It's not somebody where like they can say like, oh yeah, like, you know, he's made a few mistakes here and there, but overall he's had a conservative voting record. Like, that's not the case. That's not who we're getting. That's what we know going into it. We know this guy's a uniparty guy. We know he serves the deep state, not the people.
Exactly. And that's my point. Enough of giving second chances, enough of settling for between bad and worse, we got to go with bad. No. Let's clean house. Otherwise, let's not complain. If anyone on that comment section of that post who has agreed to either McCarthy was a better choice or let's give him a chance, any of those people don't get to complain when McCarthy comes out tomorrow and start putting new rules, regulations, and stop the investigation into Hunter family, I mean, Biden family, stops the investigation into these and that. You don't get to complain on your life or pages. So that, you know, if somebody, I want to address this, by the way, if my cough would allow me, I want to address this. Someone said something And I know they didn't mean any necessarily harm, but she said that it's easy to complain on Facebook rather than understanding the situation. I wanted to tell you this, darling. I have dedicated my entire adult life into understanding politics because I wanted some sort of closure as to why what happened to me happened to me. So trust me, I do understand the situation, but what I want you to understand is sometimes the situation has absolutely nothing to do with the damage you're carrying into the future. Sometimes you gotta demolish the house today before it starts falling on your head and your children's head while injuring you. If a house needs to be demolished, you might as well get it done yourself so you're in control of which parts you're demolishing. That's what I want you to understand. I'm very aware of the situation. Are you?
Yeah, if someone has cancer, the tumor has to be removed or it's going to kill them eventually, and that's what this is right now. It's all these people that serve their own interest. They are a cancer in our country. Like, that is what is destroying us on both sides of the political aisle. If we don't get back to a nation of laws and a nation that lives under our constitution, this country is already changing in ways I couldn't believe would happen in the last 20 years. And that's only going to continue. Things will only get worse if we don't prevent that and get out there and do something about it now.
Exactly. I mean, here's the thing. I know we got to touch on Brazil before we wrap up, but listen, COVID happened. We only complained, but we did still comply. Election fraud 2020, we complained, but we still complied. Election 2022, we complained, but we still comply. McCarthy, you see the pattern, my fellow Americans? You see the pattern? I want to be clear. I don't complain on Facebook. Generally, I don't complain. I bring up a problem and then I provide a solution. For now, if you don't want to see the problem, that's absolutely your God-given right. If you don't want to apply the solution, that's your God-given right too. But then you also need to realize choices come with consequences. When it comes to 2024, and yet another election is stolen, being the last election being stolen, because at that point, there won't be a single Republican conservative left. There will be a uniparty Democrat, socialist, globalist, Islamist left. That will be the
Yes.
last election America has faced as far as integrity and fair goes. Because remember, Islamic Republic of Iran still has elections, but they're also elections, and everybody knows, including the people. So all I'm saying is if you're willing to settle, if you're willing to take the little victory of McCarthy over Jeffrey, do not, and I mean do not, pre to sit there in 2024 and say Democrats bad, because now
Yeah,
it's
don't.
on us.
Yeah, don't see it as a victory because the television tells you it's a victory. Because the same people that are telling you that are the same people getting fed the propaganda through our CIA and all these other government entities that we know have been in control of our media and in control of our social media, pulling the strings behind the scene for years now. I mean, if those of you doubt what I'm saying, go look up the Church Commission and Operation Mockingbird. So it's not like this is new news. This is something that's been going on. It's a way to manipulate us. And I think it's been going on at a much greater level than we've wanted to admit for decades.
I'm so thankful my microphone has on and off right here. Anyway, that would have definitely interrupted your sentence. Yes, correct. And thank you, Larry. Larry says that is why I am admired, truthful speech. And I want to read Mac's comment as well. Hope you feel better. Thank you, Mac. Me too. I just can't do this anymore. I'm starting to hate the rhino cowards that sell us out as much as the Democrats, Democrat communists. Absolutely agree. But now, Mac, it's time to move on from the step of emotions into steps of actions. We have 2 years. We have 2 brilliant years ahead of us. We need to start taking action. And I understand a lot of people think, well, what is there to do? There's a lot to do. Remember, and I want to go there for a minute before we go to Brazil. We just passed a few days ago the second year, our anniversary of January 6th. And the corrupt Congress members did their charade in front of the Capitol. They came out and did the whole, oh, the scary insurrection happened 2 years ago. We didn't. We didn't show up in front of Capitol in remembrance of Ashley Babbitt or any of those who are still in our gulags as political prisoners. Those are the little actions we're missing on. They still put their charade on. Every outlet was promoting and airing or countering the members of Congress in front at the stairs or whatever you call them, being all so grateful they survived. But we didn't show up. No one organized. You know why they didn't? Because we don't want to be one of those in prison. We don't want to be Ashley Babbitt. So here's the thing. Believe it or not, if you're not willing to make the sacrifice, if you're not willing to make the compromise, you don't get to expect freedom. I'm going to say this because I said it a few days ago, and I feel like I need to share it with our audience, Michael. If you were born in America in last 70 to 80 years, with all due respect, you don't understand freedom. We do. Those of us who have had to earn our position here in America. For last 70, 80 years, freedom has been nothing but a word. I am begging you, read the Constitution and learn and understand your freedoms, because you have no idea how much of it you have willingly handed over to the globalists that we know as our government. Okay, I'm going to stop preaching. You go.
Well, I think that's very well said. And you are exactly right. I think it does take somebody's perspective like yours. You know, I've mentioned a lot of times Lily Tang Williams. She's somebody else who puts it brilliantly. Like, she grew up during the revolution in China. She knows what it's like to live under oppression and brainwashing. And that's what made her come forward and start getting involved politically. She sees things happening here that she witnessed as a child, then a teenager, and then in college when she finally came to the U.S. and stayed here after Tiananmen Square. So it takes that perspective, somebody that really understands the horror of what that means and sees us losing it and turning into that again, to issue the warning. We think it can't happen here. We're crazy.
It's not about it can't happen here. It has happened here. The question is, are you seeing it? Now remember, one of the strongest, most powerful coping mechanism of human behavior is denial. It's one of this. It's top three. One of the top three strongest coping mechanism we have. We're born with it, and it's called denial. Majority of Americans are in denial right now. Because they can still go out, wear whatever they want to wear, and go to a supermarket and pick up, you know, a pack of beer and go watch football, they're denying the rest of it. Their income tax, which is absolutely unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Their sales tax is being skyrocketing. Their property tax is being absolutely not legal. This is all denial. They're not facing it. But we are almost out of time for our Lindell TV audience. And we wanted to touch on what's happening in Brazil. So, Michael, why don't you just take a minute, a moment, touch on it. We will pick it up tomorrow in more details. But let's just talk about the brave people of Brazil.
Well, Brazil is in full-on revolution now. For a little while, it looked like Bolsonaro had given up. He was here in the U.S. I saw some pictures of him in Miami at a Chick-fil-A, I think, grabbing lunch. And a lot of people thought he had quit and given up, and the people there had. Well, today they just seized control of Congress there and they've held the building. The police had to back down. They are not going to let this socialist Lula regain control of their country, this criminal. I mean, he was in jail before for corruption and taking bribes and everything else. They're not even allowed to talk about it. The people who've had it, they understand that their election had some, let's just say, shenanigans, since we're back on Facebook, down in Brazil. They're not going to put up with it, though. Even when other people may have backed down, they're insisting that the police and the military get to the bottom of this. Lula had to flee. He had to leave the capital. He's in another city right now. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me which one it is. But we need to have that same mindset. Doesn't mean we need to go storm buildings, but we need to have that same mindset. We are not going to just back down and let our country get turned into some socialist hellhole.
I hope you don't, but our thoughts and prayers are with people of Brazil as they fight for their freedom, as they fight for their election integrity. Let's keep them in our prayers. To our Lindell TV audience, thank you so much for staying with us. Remember, we do need your support, everybody, on all platforms. MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, promo code AC21. Or you can go to my artist store, LUTFstudio.com, LUTFstudio.com. bunch of new items available. Use the promo code Frank, you get a discount, and we get support to continue doing what we're doing. Our website, liveuptofreedom.com, sign up to our newsletter as we send them regularly. We're going to come back to regular sending them out every Saturday. Stay safe, stay vigilant. I will see you tomorrow. And for the rest of our audience, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a 1 minute a sponsor break, and we will be back with you to continue the discussion. Awesome. Thank you so much for staying with us. Is there anything else, Michael, you want to talk about McCarthy or the corruption here before we head over to Middle East and Iran?
I think we pretty much covered everything with McCarthy and just the disappointment in these 20 people we were holding up as heroes, and then we found out only 6 of them really were.
Well, that's why I always say, gotta hold off on calling someone hero, give them a little bit of a chance, or reverse, or vice versa. Okay, so let's talk Iran a little bit, guys. Update is, you know, they're still holding it strong, they're still standing strong. Many more have been arrested, many more have been injured. And one thing that has happened is two more of the young prisoners have been executed yesterday. They were hunged, both of them. And for anyone, I'm not saying anyone would think this is okay, but the, I guess, dramatic effect of it, Michael, is their judgment, their sentencing was Thursday, and they were hunged Saturday morning. This is how fast they're getting them done.
It's disgusting. And again, it's to send a message. And how many have been hung now? Do you remember?
We don't have the exact number because some of them are being hung and then dumped in the ocean. But the number reported by them.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. They're dumping them in ocean. They're killing them, dumping them in ocean at this point. The number of missing people are higher than those confirmed to be executed, actually. And the government is officially, the regime is officially not even accept responsibility for their arrest. Right? We never got them. We don't have them.
Are you? That doesn't surprise me, actually. Never mind.
No. At this point, they are officially not taking responsibility or denying they ever arrested them. Even though, excuse me, two girls, there are videos of them being arrested by morality police. They're like, they're not, it's not them. What you talk about? It's not that. But anyhow, to answer your question, I believe the number of confirmed is 6 that were hunged. 16 have execution orders, but 6 have been hunged. Now, I don't know where to begin. I don't, but here's where I will begin. I'm going to start with, I don't like using this term, good news, but for this case, I think Lord will forgive me for the victory and happiness here. There's good news. I have talked about this person on some of my programs, on Brian House's program, but there was a Sharia Islamic court judge, Judge Salavati. He was known, I have used his nickname more than anything, which he was known as the death judge in Tehran. standing on 25 execution orders and life sentence of 132 people, combining into 103 years of sentencing in prison. He has been sanctioned or under sanction by EU and United States of America for his crimes. And he was the judge who ordered the very first execution, the young man who was hung publicly a few weeks ago. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And this person has been shot 5 times, 3 times in the chest, 2 times in the head, by the freedom fighters in Iran. So human society does have something to celebrate. As I said, I don't celebrate death, but the death judge killed calls for victory dance, at least a moment. So
yeah,
I think that's a very, very good news, because not only he's not there to issue any more death sentences, also this has put a whole new level of fear into the rest of the Ayatollahs and Mullahs in Iran. Because at this point, freedom fighters are actually fighting back the way they do.
Yes.
I'm not putting them on the same page. Please understand, I don't blame them for a second. But I'm just saying, it's finally to where the Ayatollahs are looking around and they realize some of the freedom fighters not only do have weapons, but they're not afraid to use it.
Exactly. And that's kind of at the end of the day. You know, you can pretend that peaceful protests will solve all your problems. But when you're dealing with a despotic regime that will execute teenagers because they don't want to wear a headscarf, those aren't the kind of people you can, you know, force out of office with signs and mean words. At some point, everybody knew this was going to go to blows. And to be honest, I'm very impressed that these protesters have been able to remain as peaceful as they have and essentially demonstrate in the streets, tear down signs, but not going directly after these dictators or their families or anything else. To accomplish everything they have with as little violence as they have really says something about them. But at the end of the day, you know, there's going to come a time to get these people to leave the country where you're going to have to kill people and break stuff. And the bottom line is they've given them every opportunity to flee, to negotiate, to just leave the country. They haven't taken it. And actions like this is what it's going to take for them to regain their freedom, get out from under this Islamic dictatorship. It's not possible for them to just sit here and keep taking this, especially again as they continue to import both people and equipment from Russia to continue to suppress them on the streets, or bring in fighters from Hezbollah. They were going to bring in people there to help do crowd control, so they can't continue to just be peaceful. Just voices in the streets are not going to get the job done in the long run. But they've also accomplished so much that way. I mean, you'd sent me a video just a few days ago of the streets in Tehran, and it doesn't look like it did even a month ago. I mean, people are now, they don't even have the hijab on where they can pull it up if somebody says something. They're just in like normal everyday street clothes. And that's a huge swing in the last 120 days from where it was. And think about that. I think it's a total reversal of the country in right around 4 months. You're muted, by the way.
Thank you, because I was coughing. That's correct. But I'm glad you brought all of that up, because I want to actually take it here. It's great news. And one of the reasons they are finally taking it to the next level is accept United States of America. Listen to this, please, everyone. Accept, excluding United States of America, EU, France, Germany, England, a lot of Middle Eastern countries, including Iceland. I mean, Iceland, right? You barely hear Iceland. They have all joined forces against the regime in Iran. They have joined forces in calling on UN to actually put in action certain laws to stop the regime. Mm-hmm. On that note, Iranian people now see the support they needed to see to take this to the next level.
Yes.
I do apologize. However, why am I doing this to our audience? They're probably like, can you just get off camera and go like get better or something? I'm sorry.
You take some NyQuil.
I have taken lots of medication, but as you can tell,
you're right. You're right though. Like, these declarations that just went through the UN, that sent the people the signal that they needed, that they will have the support. Because again, like one of the fears in the background, and unfortunately our government has sent this message multiple times, that they were going to continue to support the regime. And how did they word it? They were going to continue to work towards a nuclear deal, which is,
they
says
still
yes.
Think the exact sentence is, the Biden administration still believes that diplomacy is the best way to stop Iran from reaching a nuclear bomb. Exact sentence, word by word.
Yes.
Diplomacy. Even Iceland is involved. Now, for the articles we talk about, this request started from Germany and Iceland, the road into UN. Yeah, we need to step in. Now, other countries joined later. The amendment has been issued. There are different articles, including that the Islamic Republic of Iran is going to start facing consequences if they don't stop execution, if they don't stop arresting underage kids, yada, yada. Okay, listen, even UN has come back to its origins of what it was made for. Yes. But US is still following through with what they think is best, which is diplomacy. First of all, what diplomacy? Again, goes back to who are we making a deal with? The second thing
Satan
is
himself.
How sure is Biden cabal that the regime is going to stay in power, that they want to make sure they don't reach the bomb? You know what I'm saying? Like the whole thing is such a big, giant question mark.
Well, that's exactly the kind of the point. I think you summed it up better than I did. But that's exactly the point I was making is, we're signaling, yeah, we don't expect your revolution to succeed. You know, you're going to be out there in the street for a little while, but they're just going to sweep you under the rug. So that's the message that we sent to the people. But now you have these other countries coming in and backing them with this declaration out of the UN. That gives them the confidence to move forward. That, because obviously they're hearing propaganda 24/7, I'm sure, that this revolution is going to be crushed. It's going to be another couple of days, and then everybody will be out of the streets. I'm sure that's what they're hearing. And that does weigh on you, especially if you think the rest of the world's looking at this situation like, yeah, you know, they're not going to win. They might be out in the streets for a little while, but there's no way they can take the country. Well, this sends the message to the people that you're being effective. Things are going to change. Just stay out there a little longer and you'll have your freedom again.
Yeah, that, exactly. And that's where I will, before I say this, if somebody likes your shirt, where can they get one, Michael?
There's a great website called The People's Cube, and if you're not familiar with it, the writer, he used to be a Soviet propaganda artist, and he now does artwork there, and it's a political humor webpage, so don't take the stuff you see literally. It's all written as if it were like the Soviet Union. A great website, great guy, thepeoplescube.com.
Perfect. Thank you. I figured we should answer that question. So, yes, it goes back to, I'm not even giving these, as you know, Michael, I stopped about a month ago giving any update on what's happening in Iran, because it was pretty clear majority of people aren't interested. Like, we were dramatically losing viewership because people didn't care to know about updates, which I'm fine with that. But the reason we're doing it today, it's not even about people of Iran. It's to remind our fellow Americans that this is what we're dealing with. These are the people, they're backing a straight, forward, blunt, not even shy. We have judged, so like Canada, you know, we talk about Trudeau all day long and how he's all, you know, shouldn't be there. But even Justin Trudeau took action. They did officially remove some of the family members of IRGC inside Canada. We haven't done anything yet. Like, our cabal is worse than anyone who we've been mocking or laughing or making fun of for years. That's where we are.
Yeah, and as you stated, at least Trudeau had the guts to come forward and say that. And honestly, there's probably a lot more pressure on Trudeau not to stand up for the Iranian people than there is Biden. I mean, who's going to come back in the media and criticize him for it? Whereas in Canada, you know, they can't wait to jump on people for that, for their Islamophobia. So he took a bigger risk than Biden would have by saying something in support of the people of Iran fighting for their freedom. And honestly, his statement wasn't bad. It wasn't super impressive. It wasn't the best one I've ever heard, but the statement he made, at least the one I'm thinking of, was fairly bold.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Again, we had, help me with his name, Massabile, the Congress member who.
Jim Banks and Claudia. We talked to both of them. Claudia Tenney.
There we go. They kindly went ahead and tried to push for Massabile, which would have put the Supreme Leader of Iran under sanctions. They couldn't get support from anyone. No. Anyone. From left, right, Freedom Caucus. No one. No one. And we all know, I think we're adult enough to understand international policies plays as much role in our security in America as national policies. Absolutely. When you're talking about one of the most murderous, brutal regimes that has held their own citizens as hostages for years, we're talking about this regime. It's about to be toppled. We're playing no role in it. Again, no one. This is not a Democrat versus Republican issue. It's not. You gotta sit there and ask the question of why. Why? I mean, when things were going on in Venezuela, we were all over it, weren't we? I mean, we're all over Ukraine, aren't we?
Unfortunately.
Why are we not all over freeing Iran? That's all I'm saying. Just ask the question.
When especially freeing Iran and ending the Islamic dictatorship there, nothing against anybody that's in Ukraine, but that's going to have a much more positive impact. If we want to be selfish for us here in America, everyone in the Middle East, and in all of Europe. I mean, this is where the funding, the training, and so much of the networking and planning go on for various terrorist organizations all over the world. It's their central hub. Eliminating that is taking out the need from it. Does that mean nobody's going to be singing the song of their people and self-detonating anywhere in the world? No, but it's going to make it a lot harder. It's going to make it a lot easier to get to these networks, because that's the thing, is a lot of it is infrastructure. You want to control a terrorist organization, you need a safe place for all the infrastructure for that to happen. And that cuts the legs out from under them. But no, instead we're worried about how many homes Zelensky can buy, and do we need to send them another $20-30 billion? Has the new Congress put that on the table yet? Have we written him another check? Otherwise, he's probably going to get angry here soon.
Yep, exactly. And yes, someone asked if, or they said they think shadow ban is happening heavily here. Yes, well, my videos are normally extremely heavily shadow banned. That's why I ask everyone to share or invite your friend. But, excuse me, with the time we have left, I wasn't fast enough to mute myself there. With the time we have left, I want to talk about something very quickly. And I am in no shape or form am I an expert on this topic. As most of you know, I don't even have children. Haven't been blessed by that yet. But I want to talk about, or I want all the parents to keep a very close eye on what is happening in the schools, curriculums, classes, as we approach end of, this school year, as next year starts. There are so much, I mean, Michael, I know you're aware, but there is so much infiltration of LGBTQ going on in our schools. It is horrifying. It is terrifying. I almost feel like, thank you, Lord, for not giving me children right now. I don't know what I would do.
Yeah. Well, and, this is one of those things, too, where it's when somebody does get up and say something about it, they immediately twist it around to, you're against gay rights, you're just a bigot, blah, blah, blah. But it's not what it's about. That's twisting the problem and not talking about the real problem at hand. There's no reason to be talking about kids that are in the third grade about their sexuality. When you look at a lot of these books, I mean, they're pornographic. We couldn't show them on air here without getting thrown off Facebook and YouTube and getting strikes on both of them. So there's no reason that third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders should be reading this garbage. But it's also programming kids. A lot of the ideas, if you're saying this behavior is what you want to be, that those kids are getting special treatment or affirmation, that you really are grooming kids into that lifestyle. For there to be people out there saying that kids should be able to go to these child drag shows or drag story hour at your local library or all that. Honestly, I mean, I think that's what CPS is for.
But those are the thing. Kids. They are coming to schools now.
Yeah,
there's no more. You take them to the library. It's from what I've
yeah.
talk to some parents, they're going to start turning it into a regular thing at a school during class time.
Yes, Michigan's already got that something like that pending. I'm trying to find it right now.
Yes, and here's the funny thing. I never in my life did I think I would say this. But in Michigan, one of the schools, you had the Muslim parents show up. And yeah, I mean, they were not shy at all. Never did I think in my life I'm going to say, well, good job and good for you for standing for your belief. Even though I don't even respect your belief, but good for you. Never will you see that many blunt and fired up Christian parents showing up to one in school. You won't.
No. And that's part, again, part of our problem is I think people like to hurl these insults at us because it's effective. You call somebody, you know, racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe, like I joke around about all the time. And a lot of people will just back down because they don't want that stigma. But unfortunately, like these are just meaningless insults. You're not being a sexist or a homophobe by saying, I don't want my kids exposed to this stuff. You wouldn't want them exposed to this if it was straight pornography or whatever at that age. There's no reason to bring it into the classroom, period. And again, pushing for younger and younger kids and normalizing this stuff, that's the problem. We have to stand strong. We have to push back. We have to send a message that this is not acceptable. Same with this CRT. There's no reason to teach every single kid in the classroom that they're either oppressed or the oppressor. And that's going to determine how they turn out in their life. We're setting kids up for failure right now. We're setting kids up for years of mental illness and other hardships if we don't put our foot down and put an end to this like El Quico.
Yes, well, here's another thing that we're setting up. We are reversing the table and then going back in time.
Yeah.
This is another discussion I will have, and I will not say change my mind because you can't. Reason. I have my facts, I've done my research, and I am right in the middle of the road of this discussion as far as my skin color goes. The plan seemed to be where we're going to turn white kids to be second-class citizens, and then the rest of kids to be first-class citizens. If parents aren't willing to put their big boy or girl pants and defend their kids and teach their kids that the color of your skin does not determine your future, nor does it define you, we will see the day when white people in America will be second-class citizens. Mark my words, I may not be here at that point, but this will happen if parents are not willing to stand up and say no. You do not get to use your projection technique of racism onto my kid to try to take away his future and his opportunities because you feel like somebody needs to hand you your future and your opportunities. That's how I see it. That's what's happening.
I think you're exactly right. And I guess just to add one thing to that, I mean, just you don't fix discrimination with more discrimination. Like that's not how things work. You know, you don't fix a poison by taking more of a different poison. So if you really want equality, then we have to realize too, you'll never have equality of outcome. There will only be equality of opportunity. And no matter what we do, you can't legislate compassion. You can't legislate, you know, perfect outcome or perfect distribution of things. All you can do is create opportunity for people. So if all of a sudden we're trying to fix the sins of our past by now discriminating against a different group of people, that's only going to further the problem and continue it into our future.
Exactly. And again, I will not deny that racism exists. It does everywhere in America. Yeah. No, everywhere racism exists. I do believe as strongly sexism exists in America. I do. I really think women are given better opportunities and better chances just because they're women, because we want to empower women in America. We don't understand, you don't empower an enabled person. You empower a person regardless of their race, gender, skin color. You empower them when they have the power. You empower the existing power. You don't empower somebody because you don't want to be sexist. You don't want to be misogynist. I do strongly believe there is a systematic sexism in America, and the sexism is against men and for women. I don't believe that. You look around from 20 years ago to today, I'll look around, we have way more women in management position, not because they're all smarter or more successful or more well-educated. No, because they're just women. As a woman, as a feminist, I am putting this out there, and I don't mind if you like it or you don't like it, but sexism in America is happening. And unless my fellow women are willing to admit to it and stand and say, we don't want this favor, it's going to continue on. I have worked, you know better than me, but well, your testimony won't count because you're a white man. I have worked in hiring, and I have faced times when my boss told me to put away a perfect candidate for the position simply because that person was a white man. I have been forced to not hire or even contact or put together an interview for them just simply because they were white men. If they were a white woman, that was a thumbs up. Go for it. But if it was a white man, it was a no. Unless they were a white gay man, then I could have tried.
Yeah, and I think similar to like what I just said about like racism, I think it's the same thing here with sexism. Is this is an attempt, it's an inversion of reality. And it's an attempt of essentially revenge sexism now. That, okay, well, women had it hard. Women were discriminated against for all this time. So now we need revenge. Instead of just leveling the playing field and fixing the problem and giving the problem time to actually sort itself out and fix things. Because again, it doesn't matter what rules you institute. There is never, ever in any reality going to be a perfect balance of things. I wish I could remember the number of the percentage of women in prison versus men. Are we going to tackle that problem next? We need to go out and arrest a lot more women to level that playing field too. It's never.
Well, apparently we are arresting more men who identify as women, and then get real women pregnant.
And going after these women that speak up at school boards, they'll arrest them all day.
Exactly, and here's the thing: when just to add something to what you just said, you know, fixing the problem, it's the matter of what the biggest issue inside Western countries, especially America right now, is the fact that we lack the most important governing, which is the self-governing. Yes. A lack of self-governing will reflect itself into the family governing. It will reflect itself into church government. It will reflect itself into the government. You reverse this, any woman with proper self-governing would understand that you want something, go get it, because the law says you have as much right as Michael. You want it?
No.
Listen, we sit here next to each other every day or five times, six times a day, do a live show. Normally, I take into your time because I'm more of a talker than you're a gentleman and you let me do it, right? Nobody can claim that neither one of us in one way or another are better or worse. Do we have our own area of expertise? Absolutely. And that's why the co-hosting comes in to where this program might be more educational, right?
Exactly.
You don't, and I'm going to use our own maturity. You don't really find a co-host program with a man and a woman any longer, do you?
Not very many, no. No.
And if you do, it's either too black, too white, too Middle Eastern. We are extremely unique on the concept of same era of age to very different race background and uprising. Mm-hmm. The only thing in common is we both are Christian and we both love America. Other than that, we couldn't be more different.
Exactly. You and I, we have the same core beliefs, and there's a lot of where we have the same red lines we won't cross. But there's a lot of things that, you know, you and I have different beliefs on. But that means we can have a discussion. And we can still be friends. We can still bring you guys, our audience here, the show. And that's part of what makes it interesting is, yes, there's some overlaps, but we have a lot of different areas of expertise. I've studied a lot of things that you haven't and vice versa. You know, especially through the Middle East and a lot of this stuff, things I'll never know or never even begin to understand. But that's what makes it a good combination, makes it interesting. The same is true with jobs and our other reality. Like, you can open up opportunity to everybody, but things are still going to distribute differently. There will never be an exact perfection of the wage gap between men and women. Part of it is just going to be because people choose to pursue different things. You don't see a lot of women wanting to go in and clean sewers or go in and do heavy construction and things like that, that are highly paid, lower skilled job, not unskilled, but you don't need a college degree and 10 years of school to do them. So until that levels itself, you're never going to have perfect distribution of wages. A lot of these things, I think it's people, it's academics staring at a spreadsheet, creating problems that don't really exist, so they have something to complain about. Life is too good right now that we've gotten to the point where we have to import our problems. And that's how we get into a situation we are right now, where all of a sudden we're letting our government create real disasters for all of us. You know, consequences that we'll be dealing with for the next decade, several decades.
Yes, and we are absolutely out of time, but I will add one more thing. Another angle of it could be we are also allowing our government distract us with these irrelevant problems while they're creating the actual damage and implementing it into our society. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We are back on Facebook, at least for now. We are on YouTube for now, as I said. We are on Lindell TV. We are on WBWTV that you can watch on boardwalkweekend.com. /live. Liveuptofreedom.com is where everything ends up getting posted. We will try different times and see which time works better. We would appreciate you joining us tomorrow as well. I will post on my pages on Facebook and YouTube on what time we're going to be on live show. Do support us if you can via all the available options on the lower third. MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, promo code AC21. My artist store, LUTFStudio.com, LUTFStudio.com, promo code Frank. We do have a PayPal link, paypal.me/LUTF. We have a P.O. box if you want to send letters, cards, you know, thumbs ups. I like those thumbs up. I got an envelope that as soon as I opened the card, there was a thumbs up that came out. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the P.O. box you can send it to. Anyhow, we appreciate you being here. I do, again, apologize for being a little sicky feeling today. Hopefully tomorrow I feel better.
That just shows your dedication.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When things need to be reported on, I will try my best to help on. Actually, some of my older audience who have followed me for a while, Michael, they know I actually had a hand surgery right here. I had a full surgery. And day after my surgery, the live show is still on my Facebook. My hand was on a pillow and I was reporting. This was the day I did my surgery, the day before the biggest march of the Women's March in DC. And I got on camera with my hand and half of my face is still numb from the anesthesia and did a report on it. So, yes, I do that kind of stuff. Anyhow, thank you guys for being here. You're awesome. Michael, last words of wisdom before we head out.
Just thanks again for being here. We'll be back tomorrow, and don't forget to live up to freedom.
Bye, guys.